Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
Thank you for tuning into There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, on the line with us tonight?
Yes, I am. Happy Thursday.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, I am here.
Praise God. It's good to be back on another Thursday night when we can get together and get into the Word. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your Word. Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sheila G, as we ended our prayer just a second ago, in Jesus' name is where we left off in the book of Acts, 16th chapter book of Acts on last Thursday. We'll be talking about the Apostle Paul on his second missionary journey and how he went first to a place where God instructed him to go, and was in the synagogue, and then they went out by the riverside and had a prayer service. And when he went out to the prayer service and spoke the word of God, Christian woman by the name of Lydia got saved in her household, and it sprung Paul into further ministry in that area, where he came in contact with a young woman who was possessed by an unclean spirit that was mocking Paul and his companion. So much so for many days that Paul responded to her spirit, the spirit that was possessing her, and told her, the spirit that was possessing her, that in the name of Jesus to come out. Mm-hmm. And in that Acts 16, verse 18, it says that in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out that same hour. And so that's why it's so important to understand the authority and the power in Jesus' name, because that is the highest authority there is. The Bible teaches that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. And so just ending our opening prayer in Jesus' name is authority that sets your groundwork for ministry. And people need to understand that authority and that power that's available to them through Jesus' name, knowing his word, knowing that Jesus is the word, and that he was the one that created the world, and there was nothing that was created that was not created by him. And so he has that authority, that he has that power. And so when we said in Jesus' name, it's not just saying something, you know, right, just to be talking, but it has the weight, it has the power, it has the authority to cause situations that are not godly to have to come into order and come into subjection of the authority of Christ. Sheila G.
Amen. And when I think about that, the analogy that I use, because by saying in Jesus' name, it puts the enemy on notice that I'm not giving credit or glory to myself, but I'm coming through the power of Jesus, who is all-powerful, and the enemy knows that. And the analogy that I use for that is kind of like with us and our parents. You know, our parents used to say, don't fall behind what your friends are doing. If your friends jump off a bridge, doesn't mean you need to jump off of it either. But, you know, a lot of times there's peer pressure. And one thing that I used to tell my kids and our parents used to tell us, when you feel that peer pressure, you basically say, I'm not going to do this, that, and the other, because my parents will kill me. Mm-hmm. So it's like they're the recognizing, not so much that you're being punked out or anything, but they're recognizing, okay, you know what? You talk about this, if it's a choice between your friend or your peer or your parent coming down on you, a lot of times that people respect that and leave that alone. They may, you know, and just go off on their own, but it's recognizing that I'm going to do based off what the power of my parent tells me to do versus what this little thing that you're trying to follow me to do, which is the same thing when we call on our Heavenly Father. It puts the enemy on notice that I'm not going to fall for the okey-doke, because Jesus gave me the authority to call on him, and he'll take care of it.
Amen. Dr. G, you want to chime in on that?
Yeah, and the thing is, people need to know how to use that phrase, in the name of Jesus. You know, folk who really don't believe on it, they need to leave it alone. But if you really believe that, yeah, you can say in the name of Jesus, and those spirits will have to leave you alone.
Amen, amen. It's an authority. It's a calling out, if you will. And calling to bear Jesus, and it's not just in Jesus' name based on what I want, but it's in Jesus' name based upon the will of God, Word of God, and when we pray, that we're praying in the will of God, using the Word of God, and as we pray and as we speak and as we minister, as long as we're in the will of God, that authority will go forth. And so that's why it's important for us to study and to apply the word properly to the situation. And here Paul in Acts 16, he just comes out and says, okay, not going to respond to you in my flesh, because you've been hounding me for 3 days, for many days, but I'm going to respond to you with unclean spirit in a spiritual way. And we talked about the whole armor of God on last Thursday, that a part of that armor is the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. And so if we go to Acts 16, verse 18, we're just going to read that one more time. Is in this she, and this did she many days, talking about this young woman that was possessed, and said, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus, Christ to come out of her, and he came out the same hour. And again, he didn't turn and jump all over the girl that was possessed, but he turned and spoke in the name of Jesus to the spirit that possessed her. And again, with that spiritual warfare that we talked about last week, it did not focus in on the flesh and blood, but it focused in on the spiritual wickedness in high places. Mm-hmm. And we have to be careful to stay out of our emotions, that we want to turn on somebody, not considering the spiritual impact or the ungodly spiritual impact, which would take our focus off what we need to do. So once Paul did this, what the repercussions were is that those who knew the girl and had her in bondage and utilized the spirit, this unclean spirit, this spirit that allowed her to prophesy or predict the future, it was no longer profitable to the slave owners, the masters. And so when you mess with people's money, you mess with people's power, yep. they begin to act irrational.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And we see this
today.
In society today, that
do.
When people no longer in power, when people no longer have the purse strings where they can manipulate and bring coffers for their concern. Money into their coffers, they begin to become irrational. They become unreasonable, irrational, and they do unreasonable and irrational things, even though blatantly it's not beneficial to the people that are around them. It's not beneficial to them. But because of their fixation with greed and with gain and self-preservation, they'll do and they'll say anything to try to manipulate where they would have that money and that power back. Sheila G.
Amen. And as you said, I was thinking about what you said as far as self-preservation, because it's all about them, all about what they want, whether and at any cost. That's
right.
Why, you hear, you lay down with dogs, you're going to catch fleas. People sit, they talk about people selling their soul to the devil. And at what cost are you willing to go through for self-preservation to hold on to power, to hold on to money, when only what you do for Christ will last? But they're trying to stretch it out in their own hand and in their own mind with their own selfishness, their own self, and they really don't have power. Because people that do that, when you look under the surface, because they're very superficial, they are very insecure. There is no confidence. They don't have confidence. So that's why they got to lie, cheat, steal, destroy, so that they can try to stay in power, try to hold that money, because they don't have confidence in themselves, and they don't have confidence in themselves because they don't have confidence in Christ.
Amen. And that last statement, as you said, they don't have the love of Christ. They don't have that in them that they would have love and concern one for another. That's an absent piece of their makeup. And so they try to fulfill that area where only God can fulfill with I call it self-medicating with money and power and drugs and alcohol and sex and all kind of things that are temporary.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have this solid rock foundation,
right,
which causes you to have a relationship with God, which
right.
allows you to have the proper relationship with mankind. And
mm-hmm.
and it shows. It shows. It's almost like the emperor has no clothes, but people
right.
walk around and pretend
right.
like the emperor has clothes on, and the emperor has no clothes. But because people are so caught up in like you said, this insecurity and this self-medication, that nobody wants to tell the emperor the truth.
Right.
You butt naked, buddy. you don't have any clothes on. But all of them walk around, you know, oh, yeah, Emperor.
Yeah.
She's our guy. She's, you know, because this is going to allow us to stay in power. This is going to allow us to keep money on and to know that, you know, it's a big farce. And it's
right.
a big lie. And it's a big,
yeah.
it's a big. Scheme and people get manipulated and they tell people that the sky is blue when we know it's dark and storming outside. Oh, the weather's good. Oh, the you know, the thing with the deniers of the climate and the warming of you know, you got floods here, you got extreme
in
heat
Europe.
Waves here, you got, you know, all kind of things that are upside down in the world, and you have people that would stand up or put their head in and say, oh, no, everything's fine, no problem. You know, you got water running out over here and fires and just all kind of stuff. And you know, oh, everything's good, no problem. Yep, we're, you know, not worried about it. And the whole time is the only reason they're saying that, the only reason they're doing it, so they can rely, remain in power, continue to have this self preservation, and you know, they'll tell people that anything, sky is blue, that they're coming after you, they, you know, they're going to do this so that they can stay in power, and they'll thrive in insanity and try to convince other people to thrive in this insanity. Well, the whole time it's bringing everyone down.
And it's dangerous. And that's why, you know, only what you do for Christ will last. And it's dangerous because it won't last. It's not sustainable. It's, you know, even when you look at climate change, you know, you got tornadoes where you never had tornadoes before. You got floods in Europe. You got buildings falling down because somebody in power recognized that they needed to do something to shore up these buildings, but it would have cost millions and millions of dollars. So they didn't spend the money, invest the money. Now everybody's pointing fingers at each other because 100 and some people died and it wasn't necessary. And the evidence was there, but they were fighting over the money. It's the whole thing of everybody is looking at the material things. Pastor and I were talking about the Israelites, but we've been studying in Sunday school how they got out of Egypt, but then they flipped between Northern and Judah because they still wanted to follow pagans. The Egyptian way. So it's like, wait a minute, God brought you out and you're still going to worship idols. Really? You know, and it's the same thing here. It's like we're worse there. These people are worshiping power, they're worshiping idols, but it is not sustainable because what happens? All these Assyrians and everybody came and they got torn down, they got taken over.
Mm-hmm.
But those things of God protected them through some miraculous ways. And that's what's happening now. Those that are trusting in God are going to be the ones that are sustainable. Those that aren't, that big lie, slowly but surely, is getting peeled back, and they're getting embarrassed, and it's like, it's just, then now what? Now what? Now here we have this another variant coming up from pandemic. So who's the ones getting sick? The ones that believe the big lie and didn't get vaccinated. So in the only what you do for Christ, well, that's hanging on to that power and trying to be to control things through your human means just doesn't work.
Amen. Dr. G?
Well, the whole time you and Sheila were talking, you know, I was saying about our former president and the big lie that he has been telling, and so much negative mess is coming out now about him. You know, they were talking about the General Milley was talking about he had a plan in case boyfriend wanted to do a coup. But to look at him and the lie that he continues to tell, all of his little cronies who follow him, you know, a lot of the people that the January 6th, they go into jail. Then they're trying to plead their case. But it's amazing how, you know, we get hooked up on what man says. And the thing about it is the former president didn't do anything for anybody other than the rich.
Mm-hmm.
And these fools, you know, I've watched some of the interviews with when they were at CPAC with that he spoke and all these Trump supporters were coming and how they just still sticking up for him and blah, blah, this, that, and the other. The election was stolen and all this. And to see how these folk in all these states are putting laws in place now so that that won't happen again. But yet they forget that God is still in charge.
Amen. 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 And you know, in this book of Acts, the 16th chapter, and that verse 19, it talks about those masters, and they just want to remain masters. They don't care anything about the girl. They don't care anything about the people that she's, you know, manipulating. They don't care anything about God. They just care about the money. And, mm-hmm. and you know, people that are in authority like that, or in power like that, they'll use people and they'll chew them up and they'll spit them out and they'll move on to the next person. And and people fall for that because they figure they're in good with the master. They're in good with the, you know, with the guy or the guy, the girl or the man or the woman that's in charge. And they'll sell their soul to the devil and do whatever they say and look like fools when people have finished with them and kicked them out and threw them to the curb. Mm-hmm. And so here, this demon that had been utilizing this girl and Paul called it out and had to leave. Now the master's like, well, she can't predict the future anymore. People not giving us any money. You're going to have to go after, you know, they get angry and they're going to have to go after the source that has righted the wrong. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when people, they call them whistleblowers or people that testify or people that stand up for the truth. When you mm-hmm. when you blow the whistle or you testify or you call speak truth to power, you call things that were wrong out, then the people that were called out, then they want to turn to get back and they want to turn to trying to get revenge for exposing, you know, their ill deeds. And so in verse 19, after Paul had called this spirit out, the masters, they begin to start acting irrational and want to go on get back. So in verse 19, it says, and when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. Now they began to start plotting and scheming. They start, if you will, going on social media. They begin to start going on these TV shows, and they begin to start building these lies about the people that spoke to China, all because they not empowered. They ain't got no money no more. They can't roll like they used to roll, you know. And because and they can't roll like they used to roll, they gonna get back and they gonna make up some schemes of how to punish these folks that caused them to no longer have this authority and this money. And so in verse 20, it says, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceeding trouble our city. And then they start bringing in the race card. The race card out. They began to start saying, you know, we're this, we're not Jews. And you know, they began to start manipulating the people. And that's what happens in societies where they begin to start making people the other. The other right. means like they're not like us and they're causing problems. And if they did it to us, they'll do it to you. And we got to watch out for those folk over there because they're not like us. They don't look like us. And we're Greek and they're Jews, not realizing that Paul had been raised in their culture, went to their schools, but because of their irrationality, because of their blindness, because of their ungodliness, they didn't even understand that. And so later on in this chapter, you'll end up seeing how they have to eat crow, tuck their tail, and come back and do what's right to try to save faith. But when people begin to start losing authority, when their stuff gets exposed, they will lie, they will scheme, they will manipulate, they will start calling people the other. And it's funny where you see a poor people of one race begin to start talking about poor people of another race, and politicians and leaders will manipulate them to thinking that, yes, I might be just as poor as them, amen, but I'm better than them because of the color of my skin or where I live, even though we both just as poor as anybody else. In other words, we need water just like you need water, but I'm better than you because of the color of my skin, and I need water. And it's like this whole manipulation because people are trying to stay in authority, so get people to begin to start rationalizing that's the other. And that's what they did in verse 20. It said, these being Jews, they trouble our city. Sheila G.
Amen. And that's the thing that Satan likes to do, is to cause division. He doesn't like unity. And so he will play on that thing of making people feel less than, when they're the ones that really feel less than, because now these authorities aren't getting the money, but they're trying to make it seem like Paul and Silas are less than and causing a division. And that's what we see today. It's like, okay, let me play up this one. Let me play this. Let me manipulate. Because if all the poor people come together and everybody sees it,
there you go.
Everybody will see that the emperor has no clothes. So they confusion. And, you know, that's what Satan does. He likes to throw confusion in there and division, because if everybody comes together and looks at one God, one baptism, then the enemy has no power. It has no authority. It can't control anything on this earth. So that's what the enemy likes to do, is called, you know, sift us like wheat, keep us division, throw things out there so that we won't pull together as one body in Christ. I remember that's kind of what happened to me. There's nothing new under the sun. When I was working at a job for 13 years, and mm-hmm. I had promoted, I moved up, and they were doing this new implementation, and I had to speak to authority. I had to speak to the executive VPs and say, this thing that you're about to do, it's not going to work. But they had already committed to the CEO mm-hmm. that they were going to do it. And I'm like, no. So then when it blew up, they wanted me, in order to keep my job, to throw my team under the bus. And I wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of mm-hmm. pressure that for about 2 years. So what ended up happening is they did, quote, unquote, a reorganization.
Yep, that's what they do.
So I lost my job. So I lost my job, but 5 years later, I'm in a much better place than I was before. Mm-hmm. And God always reveals to you when he's done the vengeance, when he's taking care of that, everything. No one has been able to come back and pull that stuff back together. People would get back to me and tell me that, and those people are still stuck, eating each other up, bombing each other down, stabbing each other in the back because of that whole crab syndrome and authority. And God, in his infinite wisdom, removed me out of that and took me to another level. But had I played that game of division, mm-hmm. stabbing, mm-hmm. you know, throwing my staff under the bus, just so I could keep power, I was like, you all can do that, and y'all can fight in the sand, but I'm not, and I'm going to stand on the truth. But, again, like you said, they came against me. They had other people infighting each other, but God did, and I lost my job, but I had peace of mind. When you stand on Amen. The truth, it doesn't matter what man does.
Amen, amen. And it's divide, and that's the enemy will divide. And even when Jesus began his earthly ministry, when he was in the wilderness for 40 days, 40 nights, the first question that Satan came to him was, if you be the Son of Man, to make these stones bread. You know, it's like questioning, you know, your authority, question who you are. And so like in Genesis, where, you know, God told Adam, you know, eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of it. And the day you eat of it, you're going to surely die. First thing Satan comes to him and says, you know, God's lying. You know, if you eat of it, you're not going to die. And it's always a questioning. It's always a dividing or pitching you against righteous, against unrighteous.
Right.
And so you know, hear these masters are upset and say, well, these are Jews and we're Romans. And in that verse 20, it says, you know, they're troubling our city, and it's the other, you know, it's like, yeah, all of us need the truth. All of us need the basic need. Again, you know, it's the poor against the poor, and to keep the poor fighting against the poor so that the rich can stay rich. Same thing going on today. It's just like, you know, everybody needs clean water. Everybody needs an education. Everybody needs, you know, health care. Everybody needs, you know, to be able to make a decent living and decent hourly wage. But it's like, in order for the rich to stay in power, they're going to have to convince the same people that are living in the same poor town, drinking out the same poor water, that you're better than those folks.
You look different.
Because of the color of your skin. In other words, you got the Jews and you got the Romans. Even though everybody needs the same thing, you know, we're better than, my poor is better than your poor because of my skin color. And you know, because I'm a Jew or because I'm a Roman. But all of us need to put our pants on the same way. Amen. All of us need water and basic necessities, but we're gonna make a divide out of it. We're gonna make an issue out of it, so that the rich folk can stay rich, so that the masters can keep their pockets full, and as long as they got you hoodwinked and bamboozled, you know, then they can stay in that authority. They can stay in that power. The same thing with the enemy. As long as he can manipulate and keep some form of authority over people, that's what the enemy will do. And people buy into it, they fall into it, they believe the propaganda, they believe the lies, they believe the schemes, not realizing that they are being manipulated, used, and abused to do ungodly things. And then once they finish with you, they kick you to the curb. And then you're still looking like, you know, man, I thought I was this and I thought I was that to you, but in reality, you don't mean nothing to them. Dr. G, help me out on that.
Well, you're right, and the bad part about it is, you see it, you saw it back during biblical days, and you see it in our day and time. I mean, this whole business with race, you got white folk who think that, you know, this stuff smells much better than black folk. And they can do whatever they want to protect themselves. But if a black person does the same thing, they're automatically going to be killed or go to jail. And the stuff that's going on during biblical days, it's the same thing. I mean, not only in the political arena, in churches, mm-hmm. you know, you got a lot mm-hmm. of churches that think they're so much better than the smaller churches. But they forget mm-hmm. that, you know, it's the same God that we're serving.
Amen. God, amen, amen.
On the outside, he looks at the heart. And until people come to grips with this thing, you know, and the Lord is doing everything he can to get people's attention. But we're so blinded by the greed and, you know, self-preservation mm-hmm. and all of that, that we don't want to see or hear what the Lord is trying to tell us.
Amen, amen. Let's go back to Acts 16, verse 20. And says, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceeding trouble our city. And here they go, start telling lies. And when folks start telling lies, like Sheila G said, they have no confidence in themselves or what they can bring to the table, so they have to lie about it. And so in verse 21, it says, and teach customs which are not lawful to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. In other words, it had nothing to do with them having this woman in slavery and unclean spirit. So they, you know, they're going to come up with a solution, amen, a solution for a problem that doesn't exist.
Right.
And it's the same thing today. People come up with solutions for problems that don't exist. And so now they're coming up with a solution for a problem that doesn't exist. It's like, well, they're Jews and we Romans, and their laws don't and custom they teach. We need to do something about them. But they say, well, what about you using and abusing this woman as slavery to make money off of her back? What about is that your custom that you're proud of? That's what you're proud of, since you're Roman, you know, and they're Jews, you know, that's your custom. But now you want to bring in this problem you want to have a solution for a problem that doesn't exist. And he said they, in verse 21, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe. And here they go. They then riled up the folk in verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. It was, oh, they're terrible. They're doing all, you know. And they hype it up and hype it up and hype it up. Sort of like the social media machine. They hype it up and hype it up and hype it up.
Right.
So people are so hyped up that they believe in the lies and the hype that they're not even sitting down and saying, what is all this about? Why are we so hyped up that we're ready to beat and kill these people? Why am I getting involved going and trying to tear these people down? They didn't do nothing to me. but they get caught up in the mob mentality. And they're caught up and they're riled up and they're lying and they're scheming. And all he did was tell them that, you know, this spirit come out. Now he's not making money. And so now they want to rile up the mob to find a problem for a solution for a problem that doesn't exist. And people go along with that. They get in their emotions. They get in their feelings because they say they're other. We're Romans. We're better than them. They're Jews, and they're causing problems over there. Don't look at my problem, but look over there at them. And when you look over there at them, you want to keep me in power. Sheila G.
Amen. That's why they say try the spirit by the spirit to know that it is of God, because if you don't have that relationship with God, if you don't know when God is leading, guiding, directing, you will not see the big enemy attack, because he's slewfoot is sneaky. So it's like so you know how they tell you to look at the shiny object? They'll show the shiny object so you can't see the truth.
There you go.
They had not even brought all this up except for the fact that they drew that spirit, that evil spirit, out of the woman, so they could no longer make money. So then they just showed the shiny object over here. Look at this. Look at this. Look what's happening over here. Look what's happening over here. So they missed the point. If they hadn't done that, they wouldn't even brought this up. They would have left Paul inside
exactly.
of them. But because of
exactly.
that, now they want it. And that's what we see today with this whole vaccination thing. The facts are there. But that's because the big lie, they would have to admit the big lie, so they're going to say, well, no, the government is going to is coming after you, and they made this disease up, and it's the plandemic by the government and using social media, and it's like they're just showing a shiny object. You're looking at the shiny object instead of looking at the truth. If you trust in God and not trust in man, God will take your focus off of that shiny object so you can focus on the truth and stand on the truth and realize that this is manipulation. This is pure manipulation. And that's what Satan wants to do, to manipulate your mind, manipulate your thoughts. And if you are leaning on man and not leaning on God, if you're walking in emotions and in flesh, you will not realize that someone is using you for their own gain.
Amen. And operating in fear of the other, you know, and that's what causes these conflicts and riles people up, is because they're scared, you know, the other is going to do me in or take over from me. And,
right.
and you know, you get to a place in verse 23, Acts 16, verse 23, it says, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. And you see people making applause. They come and they have solutions for problems that don't exist, all to try to get and cover up their wrongdoing. They just make stuff up and order for them to stay in power. And it's a typical scheme that man has gone through down through years, even into today's day. Just cause the division, cause the other, cause the mob mentality, and lock the people up and you know, come up with solutions for problems that don't exist. And you get to a point where people, like you said, Sheila, if you don't have a relationship with God, people are easily manipulated. It's easy to get along. And not stand on the truth, even though people know what the scheme is, and some people don't know what this kingdom is. They'll just go along, and it's like the blind leading the blind. And then those who know that it's a scheme, they'll say one thing over one place and then try to take the higher, more high ground, but they lost it. And it's just to keep scheming. So what they do is they keep scheming those that are ignorant, those that are weak, and they keep manipulating them so that they can stay in power. And they'll use and abuse anything and anybody. And it's the same thing going on today. And we have to rely on God. That's why God called Paul and Silas when they were going to some other areas. But God said, no, we need to get to this place. First, I need you to get to a place where Lydia was in Tyre. And I need you to get to this place where we can reveal these ungodly folks, this ungodly spirit. But most of all, to get to a place where God can be uplifted, the name of Jesus can be lifted up, and that many people that were in prison, many people that were unsaved would be saved. And these people that were in prison, that were unsaved, these people that were out of prison, that were unsaved, would get the word of God, and then they could spread the word of God. Because of the mighty acts that God is getting ready to do through Paul and Silas in this situation. In other words, Paul and Silas, they got beat, they got thrown in jail, they got lied on, they were doing good for the Lord, and it seems like these magistrates, these masters had the upper hand. But God allowed this to happen so that this next part of this chapter, toward the end of this chapter, would be come into play, so that these folks who wanted to shut down the gospel were actually playing a role in actually spreading the gospel. And it's powerful to see the finite mind of man. He doesn't even know he's playing a role that's going to cause the gospel to blow up. But that's the infinite wisdom of God. To be able to allow this situation to happen. God told them at the beginning of this book, like, nah, you can't go over there. I need you to go over here because there's a man that says, come help us. And they went to help. And this was the reason why they were restrained and had to go to Macedonia to go preach the gospel and help in this area, because it was a bunch of mess going on. And there were some people that were being used. They were manipulating people. They were ungodly spirits there. There were folks probably, and I don't know, but in the jail, there was probably some folks that were unlawfully jailed, like Paul and Silas were unlawfully jailed. And so what God wanted to do was to deliver them, to deliver the jailer, to deliver the people that were in jail, to be able to expose these magistrates and these leaders. So much so that people would be baptized, their whole household would be saved, so that the gospel could spread. Children.
Amen. And that's really what has happened today with the whole pandemic, with the election of, he cheated to get the election to become president, but then the whole Black Lives Matter thing, the injustice, then the pandemic came. Well, what did it expose? Exposed that health care was inequitable between women, minorities, and non-minorities or the rich that could afford health care. What else did it expose? Exposed that, okay, we're doing peaceful demonstrations in June because of the George Floyd situation, which exposed what we've known for years as far as criminal injustice towards minorities versus non-minorities. Well, what happens? Then January 6th, you got people rolling up into the Capitol, guns raised, beating, tearing up the building, and none of them got shot. So it's like what the enemy meant for evil, God has worked it out for good. So now you got these states that are like, oops, we lost. Well, okay, let's change these laws so that we can override it. So now they're injustice, their criminal, their minds, their manipulation, all of that is being exposed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now we're seeing that you're cheating up front. You're saying the quiet part out loud. So not realizing, just like here, that when we go through, when the enemy is attacking us, if we stay faithful, a lot of times God is allowing these things to happen so it can be exposed so that we can come out stronger and looking better, because they look really bad right now. These leaders, they look weak. They look intimidated. They are scared to death. You're so scared that you feel like the only way you can win is to create laws to cheat? Really?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have that confidence in yourself to be able to do good. The only way you can do is to cheat and lie. So all of this, through the pandemic, through everything that's been going, God, it has been challenging. People lost their jobs. But just like the whole thing where, okay, we want to cut back, stop giving people unemployment because companies need people to work for them. Well, what does that show? If unemployment, if people are staying home to collect unemployment instead of going back to work, that means that those jobs aren't paying enough. That got exposed. So it's like a lot of things that was like underwater, undercover. It may have been difficult being locked up, not having jobs, and the government having to step in and make these payments, but it exposed so many inequities within this world and within this nation.
Amen. Dr. G?
Well, you know, with all that Sheila has said, and I think it's important, and this is why people, Christians especially, have to have their own personal relationship with the Lord. Because with all of what's going on, if you don't have a foundation in Christ, this mess would drive you crazy. But just like with Paul and Silas, you know, God allows everything to happen for his own reason. And we have to stay focused. Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed
by
the renewing of your mind. So we have to continue to renew our mind every day. We've got to continue to get into the Word. You know, we say we believe. You know, we've been talking about faith for about 2 months now. You know, the Lord says, show me something. Because with everything that's going on, you hear these fools talk about they just can't believe that 84 million people came out to vote for Biden. Well, on the other side, what about them 74 million that came out to vote for nothing? You know, people forget all of that. But it's the same scenario. And until we get grounded, we are really grounded in the faith of our Lord, and we stop talking a good game and be about a good game, things are never going to change. But at least for the Christian, those that believe, we know that God has got our back.
Amen, amen. And so, again, we look at this. We're going to go to phone lines here shortly. We look at this this whole process where they had to go and they went and they started with Lydia and the prayer service, and things went smooth, and you know that gave them the footing in the area in Macedonia. But again, at every level there's another spirit, another devil. And then as they ministered and they went further, now they're in prison. And so now they're working on their emotions, Sheila G. Now they're, you know, this would be the time where they would say, man, I can't do this no more. You know, this is what ministry has led me to. And you know, you get into a funk. But the key to remaining steadfast is to continue to focus on God and not on the situation.
Right. Right,
and so,
right.
And so in verse 25, and people say, well, Pastor, you crazy, you preaching this, and well, this word of God, and this is what we have to preach. We can't preach what thus said man. We got to preach what thus said the Lord. And so, after they've been beaten, after they've been put in the stocks, after they've been lied on, did they go in there that woe is me moment? Did they say, I quit? This is what they did. This is what they did in verse 25. And that's why people say, you know, you know, you got to walk by faith and not by sight, because, you know, sight, the situation and what my eyes see, I have to go to the Word of God. The Word of God says, you know, the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. And so with that mindset, in verse 25, this is what Paul and Silas, after they've been lied on, after they've been beaten, after they've been put in stocks, after their good was evil spoken of, it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas, see that prayer service that they had on the riverside, Sheila G, yeah. Dr. G, see the prayer service that they had on the riverside, I'm not going to preach, y'all, it prepared them, come on now, for the midnight hour in the jail. Come on, somebody need to help me out here. See, that's why we got to have the prayer, amen, to prepare us, amen, to deal with the foolishness that's going to come our way. But when the foolishness comes your way because you've been prayed up,
yep.
Because you got a relationship with God, Dr. G, amen, a personal relationship, when they make solutions for problems that don't exist, when they lied on you, when they cheated, when they stole, when they talked evil bad about you, and they put you in the stocks, you're not going to get in there and say, God, this God, that. You're going to say, nah, it's midnight because I'm prayed up. Amen. He said they what? They sang and praises unto God, and the prisoners heard him. In other words, we still going to praise God.
Chill
G, I'm going to go run around the room. I'm going to go run around the room. You go ahead.
There's
hallelujah. Thank you,
praise
Jesus.
What I do even when I'm going through. And that is one of the songs. That's why I always tell people, find that scripture, your favorite scripture when you're going through. It will speak peace to your soul. I don't care if it's Psalm 23, whatever it is, Psalm, the Lord is my light, my salvation. But you find that song, your favorite song, you sing that.
Yeah.
And that song, praise is what I do even though I'm going through. You give God the glory. That's how you get peace. That's how you get joy. There's two phrases I always say. One is I can be in an unhappy situation and still have the joy, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. The other one
come
I
on
say
now.
Is pull on your past victories, because you know if he did it before, he'll do it again. You don't focus on the problem. You focus on the problem solving.
Amen. That sounds like good news. Come on, Dr. G, help me out here.
See, we all going to be preaching here tonight. But scripture, you know, Sheila and you were talking, you know, you've got to believe that God can when he says he can. You know, mine is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Mm-hmm. And if you believe that, yes. No matter how hard it may get, no matter what you're going through, Sheila said pull on your past victories, get a scripture, get a song. You've got to believe that God will do just that. And like you were saying, if, you know, I've preached the message, what do you do when you don't know what to do? You pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And they prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard it. And I want to leave off with that. The prisoners heard them. In other words, in the midst of the trial, goodness gracious, they were still praising God, and they were talking about, won't he do it? And they're looking around and said, we still in jail, fool. Fool, we're still in jail. They tell them, won't he do it?
Amen.
Fool, you in the stocks. You in the stocks. You didn't got beat. You got swollen upside your head, and you singing praises to God. What in the world is going on? At midnight, go to sleep, man. Stop singing that crazy stuff. And they're talking about God is good, and I will bless the Lord at all times. And somebody said, go ahead, brother preacher, and his praise. And Paul and Silas got happy. His praise shall continually. That's what David said, be in my mouth. And the prisoners heard him. They said, what is wrong with these folks? Somebody done beat them so bad they done lost their mind. But in verse 28, somebody else said, but verse 28, verse 28, it said, and suddenly, come on now, the boys and got beat, eyes swole up, back ribs hurt, Lord Hammer lied on, scandalized, but they still talking about, won't he do it?
Yes, he will.
It says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison, come on, the injustice, institution. Come on now. Foundations of the prisons were shaking, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's hands were loosed. Come on now. She help me out. I'm going to go run around the room again.
God will do it. If you focus on him and not your situation, he will set you free. And the enemy will just look at, like, what happened to you? You can touch my flesh. You can touch my body, but you cannot touch my soul. Walking in victory, that's one of my favorite songs, too. I'm going to walk in victory. I don't care what's going on around me. I don't care what it looks like, but I'm going to trust in God, and I'm going to walk in victory. And why am I walking in victory? Because the battle is not mine. It's the Lord's. I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to do what I can. Then I'm just going to stand and watch God do his thing, and he will do it. We have to trust in him. His time may not be our time, but if we continue to build that relationship with him, you have the confidence that God is going to bring you through.
Amen. We're going to go to phone line. I'm just going to ask the question, won't he do it? And we're going to go to the first call at 630-9-6309. Won't he do it?
Good evening, everybody. Won't he do it? Yes, he will, and I'm proof of that. He done did it for me so many times, I can't even see straight. I know who he is, and I know what he's capable of, and I believe in him. I trust in him. I go to him. Every little thing, I go to him and ask for his help. You got go to him and ask for his help. Won't he do it? Yes, sir, he'll do it every time.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony this evening. We're going to go to the next caller, 1741. Won't he do it, 1741?
Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus will do it. He
Amen.
Will fight your battle for you. And when we close Tuesday morning prayer, Philippians 4:13 was the last scripture that we shared. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. And so... Hallelujah, Pastor Gregory. That's just a confirmation of what we shared
Amen.
This week for the saints to take with them when they got off the line. So I praise God. God can do it.
He
specializes in the impossible. And sometimes you just got to get crazy for Jesus.
Amen.
Come on now.
And songs blessing him. I don't see it, Lord, but I know it's there because you said it, and I call it because you say it, and I'm believing in your word. And
Amen.
So I thank God. I thank God for doing the impossible because he has done the impossible for me so many times, and I just bless him tonight. I give him the glory because he is a prayer-answering God, and I thank
Amen.
God. Thank God for just being that prayer-answering God. When it looked like everything is gone. Sometimes
Come on
it looks
now.
Like you're down in that valley so deep. Oh, hallelujah.
Hey.
Jesus will lift you up. He'll put a song in your spirit. And sometimes
yeah.
he'll give me just one little phrase. Won't Jesus
yeah.
do it? Let Jesus do
hey.
It for you. Let Jesus do it for you. And, you know, sometimes you don't know but a few words, but it's enough, Pastor, to get your
Yeah.
Peace. Let
yeah.
Jesus do it for you. Hallelujah. God bless
Amen.
You all.
God bless
Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Thank,
Thank
you
for your testimony.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this evening. We're going to go to our next caller, last four digits, 1712. Won't he do it?
Amen. Yes, he will. I've been in some deep places. I've been in some dark places. I've had friends turn their back on me. I've had loved ones and family members talk about me and call me everything but a child of God. But through it all, God has allowed me to see another day. God has allowed me to witness great things. God has allowed me to witness his power over and over and over again to the point where I'm like, Lord Jesus, I'm not worthy of the things that you're doing
Come
in my
on
life,
now.
The situations
Come
that
on
you're putting me in and the blessings that you're allowing me to have because I've made some mistakes. I've crossed some people, and God has allowed me to live another day and see another day to get it right, to have another opportunity to make situations better, to amend and then broken relationships and to grow and be a mentor to others. So I thank God, because in the 40 years I've been on this earth, I've seen a lot. I've gone through a lot. And others
have
fallen by the wayside, and they've gotten into things, and they've gotten into situations that they weren't able to get out of. And I just thank God, because I'm like, I was there. I was right there with them. I used to talk with them. I used to walk with them. I used to run the streets and do other things. But God has allowed me to see the error in my ways and say, son, listen, there's a better way. I can show you, and you will lead others to me. But you got to put it down. You got to realize that I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So I thank God for what he's done. And I've had to learn. And so many people before me have come and gone, but God has allowed it that I've been able to see another day and try to maximize each and every opportunity. So because of God and what he's done in my life, I don't take a day for granted. I don't take an opportunity for granted. I don't let things that used to bother me years ago bother me now, because I understand that I have a bigger purpose, a bigger role, a higher calling, not just to myself but to others. But I thank God, and I'm not perfect. I'm going to get it wrong some days, but I acknowledge that and I accept that. But as long as God sees the effort, as long as I take time out to acknowledge God and get right and kind of get that spiritual refill that I need, I know I'm going to be all right, because I've always put God at the head of my life. But thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 Thank you for your testimony this evening. We're going to go to our next caller, last four digits, 3343. Won't he do it? 3343.
Yes. A week ago, last Thursday, an accident that you would never think, a freak accident that would happen to a person. My wife had her cell phone and it dropped on her foot and hit a blood vessel right at the exact point and bust the vessel wide open. And I just never knew. It was bad. She didn't let me know how bad it was. Got the next morning, and you looked at her foot again, and it was just terrible. We had to go to the hospital, and they would kept it up with her, and they say that she's going to still be here for a while. And then she just called me back in the house and said they're going to keep me. And when she called me at 3 o'clock in the morning, and it was pouring down raining, and I can't see it all in the dark time, and it's raining like pouring with cats and dogs. The Lord just got me in the car, and I could see the road all the way through there, and got there to her, and she told me that they're gonna keep her, and they wouldn't let me look at the leg and foot, how bad it was. When I got back home, she's gonna call me back, and she called me, and I got the praying, and the doctor was saying that it can go either way, and I just kept on praying, and said, no, Lord, don't let it, please don't let it. Devil was trying to put me, feel me that it was going to turn out terrible. And all of a sudden the phone just kept ringing and ringing and ringing. And all of a sudden it got quiet. And somebody said something and they called my name. And I said, yes, okay. Then the word came out, how it was going to turn out. And it wasn't going to turn out what I thought it was going to turn out. And won't he do it? Yes, he did. I prayed all the way there. I don't know how I got to the hospital.
Yes, sir.
Rain, and I couldn't see, but God got me there and got me back to the house and listened to that phone, and they told me that she's gonna be all right. I thought sure that leg was gonna come off or that foot gonna come off, and I just could not see nothing but that. And Lord said, yes, he did. Yes, he did. Prayer will do what he got to do.
Yeah, yeah.
He knows what he's gonna do, and yes, he will do it. Yes, 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 Lord, he will do it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony this evening. We're going to go to our next caller, 3504. Won't he do it? Must be listening in. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 7971. 7971. Won't he do it?
Yes, he will. Every time. Yes, he will. I you always depend on God to see you through in any instances in your lifetime. And we have to lean and depend on him for everything in our lives. It is so important to know God's word so that we will be rewarded for the things that are promised to us in time of need, from suffering and decisions and people doing things that are just not acceptable and understanding to God. And we know what's right, but some way it's always difficult for us to do the right thing. But this was a good example of how things happen in your Christian walk. And we have to be very, very mindful of in our everyday struggles.
Amen.
In our everyday struggles, we have to be very mindful to keep our lives, our eyes stayed on God and do it His way. And do it His way.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for your testimony this evening. I'm going to go to one more caller. Last word is 8760. 8760. Only do it. Man, another one must be listening. And Sheila G.
Yes, he will.
Close out in prayer tonight. Dr. G, thank you for your sermons tonight. I appreciate y'all helping out with us tonight. You give us some final words and close us out with prayer.
Amen, amen. Won't he do it? Yes, he will. But the enemy means for evil. God will work it out for our good. We just have to trust in him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for just allowing us to have another Bible study lesson. I pray, Father, that we will take these words and allow them to reign in our spirit so that we can be led and directed by you. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.